Our scripture reading for this hour's lesson is taken from Matthew, the fifth chapter. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Once again, let me add my good morning to you. Glad that you are here, saw fit to set aside everything else in the world and to come together as we worship God in spirit and in truth. Once again, it's an honor to be with you here this morning. My goal for this lesson, as with every lesson, is we open God's Word, we read what it says, we don't change it, but we apply what it says to our lives. That will be our goal here this morning. A man goes to the pet shop and says to the clerk behind the counter, "I want the most extraordinary pet you've got." The man said, "You're in luck. I've got a centipede in the back that talks and likes to go to the movies." He said, "Well, I talk and like to go to the movies. I want that centipede." So he gets the centipede home, sets him in his crate on the counter, says, "I'm going to go change clothes and go to the movies. Do you want to come?" Centipede doesn't say anything. So he goes, comes back in. "I'm going to go find my jacket. Do you want to come?" Centipede doesn't say anything. Comes back in. "I've got my hat and money. Are you ready to go? Do you want to go with me?" The centipede said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I heard you the first time. I'm just putting on my shoes." Okay. Once again, I'm just making sure you're with me this morning. What I want us to talk about, as you can see here on the presentation, sometimes I'll tell you I like to use the presentation, sometimes I don't. So you show up, and if you've got it, it's a blessing. And if not, then you can just look at me. But I think they can help us if they're done right. So this morning I want us to look at walking, or walk as children of light. This was part of a series for a camp up at Short Mountain a few years ago. And the theme was this lesson text in Matthew 5:16, where Jesus Christ says, "To let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now if you notice, Jesus does not say to shine your light. You know, if Gary and I are out at night and we hear a rustle on the side of the road, I say, "Gary, shine your light over here," and he points his flashlight there. He is pointing the light in that direction. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Let your light so shine." In other words, you live the life of a Christian, others will see your light. You will light the world around you, but you don't have to say, "Look at me, I'm a Christian. Look how good I'm doing today in my Christian walk." So this morning, I want us to look at the idea of walking as children of light. So to start, we've got to define the word walk. And in case you did not bring your dictionary, here's a screenshot of the word walk. Used regularly, it means to move at a regular and fairly slow pace by lifting up one foot and setting it down each foot in turn, never having both feet off the ground at the same time. That's called jumping. I feel you are familiar with walking because I watched you walk in the building this morning. We know what it means to walk. But if you look it up in a Bible dictionary, walk is used to denote a man's mode of life or his spiritual character. When we're talking about walking in the Bible, we're not talking about walking, at least in our lesson this morning, of getting from point A to point B physically. But we're seeing how we can conduct our lives as a Christian. Speaking of that, a prerequisite, pre meaning before, requisites required. Before you can walk as children of light, you've got to become a Christian by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized. If you're not a Christian this morning, hold on to that thought. We're going to get to you at the end of the lesson. But we're talking about how do we live. So as we think about it, the book of Amos says in Amos 3 and verse 3, which is arguably the most quoted verse in that book, "How can two walk together unless they be agreed?" Brother Bobby and I want to walk out the door, and I go this way, and he goes that way. We're not agreed. We have to walk together to go through the door. So, this morning, what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, let's look at that first. Number one, go with me to the book of Ephesians, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 8. In fact, although that's not where this lesson is going, but maybe in a future time, there's actually seven different kinds of walking in the book of Ephesians. But look at Ephesians 5 and verse number 8. Paul says, "You were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." What are you saying, Paul? He used to be this. Now you're here. So how do you walk as children of light? Well, he's going to talk about your old life versus your former life. Old life, former life, new life, where you're at now. Look at verse 11. He says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Have no fellowship. I should not be going out, A, doing these acts of darkness. B, I really shouldn't be hanging around there too much. Psalm 1 tells us the progressive nature of sin. You go from standing, sitting to walking. Next thing you know, you're in it if you're not strong enough. So he says, notice, have no fellowship. What's he talking about? Go back to Ephesians 4. Same page, at least in my copy of the scripture. Ephesians 4 and verse 22, he says, "You put off the concerning the former conversation, the old man, he's corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." He says you need to put aside that old man. What is that? The old conversation. That's the life that we lived before we obeyed the gospel. Now, although if you've obeyed the gospel, you went down into that watery grave, hence it's a grave. You came back up. I was still Justin Reed. I still lived at the base of Short Mountain at the time. I still had the same phone number and the same social security number, because that'd be a pain to change. But I wasn't the same Justin Reed. I was a new creature. My sins, that old man, stayed in that grave, and a new person rose out of it, just like Christ rose out of the grave, defeated death. I defeated my sins, thanks to God, in that baptism. But he says you need to be renewed, to be made better. We must walk in the light. But in order to do that, we've got to realize where we came from. Go with me to the Corinthian letter, if you will. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And if you mark in your Bibles, I like to take notes here and there. And we'll show you something to underline if you so choose. The city of Corinth was a wicked place. It was filled with debauchery left and right. But I don't want to say they were too wicked, because we're filled with debauchery left and right still today. But we don't have a letter from Paul. Notice what he says. Verse 9. "Know ye not," one of Paul's favorite phrases. In other words, Paul is saying something they know. Paul is reminding them, hey, you know this, knuckleheads. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." And he's going to give you a long laundry list of sins. "Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners," that's 10, "shall inherit the kingdom of God." Well, that's awful, Paul. What do we do with that? We know this, Paul. Look at verse 11, your key. "And such were some of you, but you're washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God." If you mark in your Bible, I would underline the word "were," "and such," W-E-R-E. My mother's an English teacher. Here's you a free grammar lesson for coming to church today. "Were" is past tense. It's not present. It's not future. He said, "such were some of you." What are you saying, Paul? Those in Corinth, they were fornicators. They were idolaters. They were effeminate. They were abusing themselves of mankind. They were drunkards. They were revilers. They used to do these things. But you're not doing it anymore. Why? Because you're walking as children of light. How? You've been washed, sanctified, and justified by Jesus Christ. When we walk as children of light, we leave that old life behind us. Our final point on this one, and then we'll move to point number 2. Go with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, which may be my favorite passage in the book of Romans. But ask me again tomorrow and it may have changed. I like Romans. Romans chapter 6, another favorite phrase of Paul. What shall we say then? He's moving points. If you ever listen to the great James Watkins and all of his sermons that he would do. Of course, he never opened his Bible, but he had it up here. And if you were taking notes, when Brother Watkins would ask a question, then answer it, a rhetorical question, he's changing points. That's what Paul's doing in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Heavens, no, certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not, once again, he's talking to Christians, that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death, Therefore were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. So Paul asked the question before we get to our point here. Because I can be forgiven by God, does that mean I should go out and sin so I can be forgiven? God forbid. The strongest way Paul in the Greek could have said no is God forbid. He says, certainly not. Heavens, no. God forbid. You don't go out and sin just because you can get forgiven. But by the grace of God, if you sin, you can be forgiven. But notice here, he says, you were baptized into Christ. Right up the street here, if you cross over the four lane, it becomes Spring Street, and you've got the cemetery right there. A lot of people buried in that cemetery. But we can't go bring those people back out. We have loved ones there, friends there. Dottie West is buried there. You can go see her grave as well. We can't go bring them back out. Why? Because they're dead in that grave. Brethren, that's how our old life should be. We're dead. But we've risen up to walk in a new life. How do we walk as children of light? You leave that old man behind you and you don't go back. You don't go back to the old life of sin. Does that mean you change things? It does. But you change things for the better. So you leave the old life behind. Number two this morning, let's go back to our lesson text in Matthew chapter 5, because I want us to narrow in some more on what my Savior, my best friend and yours too, said. Here on the Sermon on the Mount, he has just finished the Beatitudes, the blessed are statements, if you will. And he says, you are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, if some of this sounds familiar to you, A, we were just in verse 16, and B, verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. Come back next week to our VBS. This little light of mine, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. That's where we take that from. Notice here, we are the light. Jesus Christ calls us a light set upon a hill. And Jesus knows what he's talking about. In John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. Well, if a man who is God in the flesh, if he is the light of the world, that means he could identify who else is the light. We as Christians are to be a light in darkness. In fact, go with me to John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We see that's what Jesus did. He came to shine light in darkness. Notice what John says, if you will. John's gospel account, the first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, Jesus Christ. And the Word, capital W, was with God. And the Word, capital W, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness. Darkness comprehends it not. Jesus is the light. He came to shine light into darkness. We are to be like Christ. Therefore, we should shine darkness. What did Paul say? I love this verse. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 11. And the first verse, you may know this one, you may have memorized this, you may have this written in your Bible somewhere. Notice what Paul says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now notice what Paul does not say. Paul does not say, follow me because I'm Paul, because I'm so special, because I'm so holy. No, no. He says, follow me because I'm following Christ. So in essence, if you follow Paul, you might as well be cutting out the middleman and be following Christ. Because Paul was always wanting to live as Christ did. What does it mean when we follow? And the Greek has the idea of imitation, to imitate what Christ is doing. I want you to think about it. Maybe you've seen it at a gospel singing or a gospel meeting somewhere, and you've got a song leader who is not like me, but a song leader who knows music. And man, he's got his song book over here and his hand over here. He's beating out the notes. And I mean, he's hitting the 4/4s and the 3/3s, and he knows what he's doing. And I'm glad some people do. And then you look in the back and there's a little kid who's never been to church and they've got their songbook. And what are they doing? They're over here and they're just a moving. They don't have the slightest idea what they're doing, but they're imitating the song leader. See, brethren, we should be like that little kid in the back. If Christ is our song leader, we should imitate every single thing He does. Because everything He does is good. There's nothing bad in Christ. If you ever go down towards Pensacola, you can go to the National Museum of Naval Aviation, which is a really cool place. It's the home of the Blue Angels. This is not a commercial, but if you happen to go there, it's a free museum. And if you're like me, every time we go to the beach, it rains one day. You go to a museum when it rains. Across the street is the Pensacola Lighthouse, built in 1859. There's your picture that I may have borrowed from their website. They don't know, so it's okay. This is a really cool lighthouse. For I think about $8, you can go up in the lighthouse. But fair warning, there's 177 steps to the top. I know. I counted them on the way up, and then I begrudgingly counted them on the way down. Up wasn't bad. Going down was the hard part because I could keep seeing them, and I thought, this is never going to end. I did not go to the gym the next day. I don't go to the gym anyways. I'm a curious person. They have a guy stationed at the top. It's an active lighthouse. And I said, he said, ask any questions. I said, okay. I said, how far out does your light shine? He said, our light, did you catch that? I'll do it again. I know how to animate things. Our light shines 27 miles. Now, me, being the inquisitive person, I said, boy, that's a really random number. Why does it shine 27 miles? He said, because the earth curves at 25 miles out. You can notice a curvature in the earth at about 25 miles out from where they're at, which means this lighthouse is going above and beyond the call of duty because it could only go 25 miles and it would be fine. But they put two extra miles in, so as you start to approach, and you're, of course, you're just going straight, but as the earth is curving, you're already catching that light before you even need to be seeing it. We need to be a light like the lighthouse. We need to not only let our light so shine, but we shine it all the way out in an area, in a radius that's even larger than what we need it to be. Because honestly, you never know who's watching. Could be a sibling, could be a parent, could be a brother or a sister, an aunt, an uncle, a niece, a nephew, a child, a neighbor, your boss, your coworker, or the man at Walmart or Dollar General, wherever you shop, that's helping you check out. But there are people who see you and they go, I know they go to Arlington. I know I see them at meetings all around town. I see their car in different church parking lots and they're here and there. You never know who's watching you. There's a song in some songbooks called Watching You that says, all along on the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you. The chorus is watching you every day. Mind the course you pursue. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. Who's that? Well, it's God. See, God sees everything we're doing, even if our neighbors don't see it, even if our boss, our employees, whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter if they see our good works or not, because God sees, and the Bible teaches that God rewards openly those who are good and punishes those who are bad. Brethren, we need to walk in the light. Why? Because we are the light. But let's go back to that idea and narrow in on 1 John chapter 1 as we look at walking in the light. We're going to go ahead and read it in context. We'll be reading the entire first chapter of 1 John. And if I had put in a page break or a chapter break, I don't know if I would have stopped at verse 10. I might have gone through verse 2, but I wasn't around in the 1700s when they decided to break things off into chapters, so I just rolled what they've said. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, John says, I was there. I saw it. We've looked upon, our hands have handled the Word, capital W, Jesus of God. He says, I touched Jesus. I was there. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life, which was with the Father, manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, declare unto you, God is light, In him is no darkness at all. And if we have fellowship with him, walk in darkness, we lie not, we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, I love this verse. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His truth is not, his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. How do we walk in the light? Well, we follow what Jesus does. Because there's no darkness in God, since God is Jesus. Therefore, if we follow Jesus, then we are walking in the light as he is in the light, and we're continually cleansed from our sins when we repent of those. If we live faithful, he'll forgive us of our sins if we ask. There should be no darkness in us at all. You may be familiar with the verse of 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. God says you are a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We get the chosen generation part. We get the priesthood part from studying the Old Testament. What about peculiar? That's a word we don't use a whole lot. Used a couple of times in Scripture, but outside of Scripture, we just don't really use it a whole lot. Peculiar means different. Peculiar means not like the rest of them. Notice this. I'm not going to yell at you, even though it's in all capital letters. Brethren, we cannot look like the world. We cannot act like the world. We cannot think like the world. We can't eat like the world. We can't drink like the world. We as Christians can't be like the world because we've been called out of that. We must walk a new way. Walk in the light as he is in the light. But notice this. Jesus has shown us the way. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the only avenue to the Father, Jesus Christ says. So why not follow him? You know, we sing a song, where he leads, I'll follow. Follow all the way. He the great example is and pattern for me. I could keep going on songs that we sing to remind us to follow God, but I won't. Instead, be like Noah. See, Noah had a specific blueprint. Told him exactly how to build the ark. He built it to those specifications, and he lived. Follow me. Two others. I'm just going to quote the last one. Go with me to Mark chapter 1. I want you to notice this. What does it mean when we follow him, when we walk in the light? Notice what happened when Jesus started to call his apostles. In Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Mark chapter 1 and 16. Now as he walked, that's Jesus, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. The Bible tells us they made a living fishing. They were fishers. And Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you be fishers of men. And straightway, key word in the book of Mark, immediately they forsook their nets and followed him. What do you mean, Mark? What happened? Peter and Andrew were fishermen. It's almost as if they just threw their nets down. See you, Dad. Let's go. See you, co-workers. Let's go. Jesus has called us. Keep going. He'd gone a little farther. He finds James, the son of Zebedee, John. They were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Once again, see you, Dad. See you, servants. See you, co-workers. What did they do? They left everything to follow after Christ. Are we willing to do the same? What about us? Jesus says in Luke 9:23, whoever comes to me, take up his cross daily. Daily means every day that ends in a Y. I'll pause. That's all of them. Every day we follow Christ. On the days when it's easy, and there are those. And on the days when it's hard, because there are those as well. And every day in between. We follow because we are walking in the light as our Savior is in the light. How do we follow Jesus today? If you remember the question that I posed at the beginning of our lesson, if you've not obeyed the gospel, I want you to list this. And if you've obeyed the gospel, I want you to listen to this, because this is what you've done. And if you haven't done this, you need to. Well, Revelation 22:17, he says, come. That's the invitation. That's come. you hear. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. He says you believe it. Mark 16:16, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. John 8:24, unless you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Repent, Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, y'all likewise perish. He says the same thing in verse 5, once again going back to school, because son of an English teacher. In school, when the teacher says something once, it's usually important because they don't just give you filler. But when the teacher backs up and says the same thing again, that's going to be on some kind of a test or a quiz. The master teacher twice in three verses has said, you better repent, you're going to perish. Better believe, we've got to turn from sin. Confess, Matthew 10:32, before men, he is the Father, he is the Son of God. He'll confess you, deny him, he'll deny you. Upon that, you're baptized. Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. But that's not where it ends. In fact, that's where it starts. You remain faithful to the end, Revelation 2:10, receive that crown of life, and then you repent if you're in the wrong. We go back to what Jesus said. We do our best to walk in the light as he is in the light. How do we follow Jesus today? I saw this on a church sign, and I've loved it ever since. I love church signs anyways. Try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil will take you back. In fact, he'd love to take you back, but I'm fairly certain you're going to love Jesus. If you're not walking in the light, if you are not living the life as you should be as a Christian, or if you've never obeyed the gospel to become a Christian, the steps we just mentioned, dear friend, do not end this day not following after Jesus, not walking as children of light. We have an invitation song that is prepared, and we're going to sing it to encourage you, dear friend, if you've fallen away, to come back, or dear friend, to obey the gospel for the very first time. Remembering always to walk in the light as our Savior walks in the light. If we can help you in any way at all this morning, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we sing.